Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. So glad that you could join us this week, and I'm so glad that we could be here this week, because we're running into scheduling problems.
Technically, I'm not here. I'm there.
If we could all just quit our day jobs, Rodrigo, we could make this a regular occurrence. Someone said, hey, do you guys think you'll ever do twice-a-week shows? Not in this current economic climate. No way.
Not really.
All right. Let us get to some action.
Okay.
How are we going to do that?
So...
Return the lights down, turn up the music.
We return to the Hawksbill.
Yes, we return to the Hawksbill as the Hawksbill finds itself docked at an island called Ten Tails Island.
Ten Tails, woo!
Yes.
That was my one.
Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad it's out of the way already. Anyway.
Well, I got rid of the Beatles song in my head.
That was before the recording, Robert. That doesn't count.
We done? We good? We good to continue now? All right. So the Hawksbill has been docked at Ten Tails Island, and all its prepositions for a while, as Randus has, and any other party member who wants to help, has begun. Work on a astral submarine.
Ooh, that sounds awesome. Are we actually calling it that?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Would there be an equivalent name that would be more genre appropriate than submarine, or am I just... There you go.
Sounds better to me.
I don't know. Randus is building it, so...
That's true, and Randus is kind of... Battle of the Planets.
Yes, Randus is in fact woo-woo Battle of the Planets. I often refer to him as such.
Matthew gets to be princess.
Okay, first of all, any team that has a token long-haired fat guy, I think we know who I am. And second of all, if Rodrigo is going to join in on the mockery, then I'm just going to pout.
And third off, that's Voltron.
I'll form the head.
Look, if you guys are going to interrupt my game with references, please at least make them correct references.
Hey, yeah, Battle of the Planets. The pilot's name is Tiny. He's a fat, long-haired guy.
No. I know. But I'm saying Princess is Voltron.
Are you sure? No, Princess is Battle of the Planets.
Princess is Battle of the Planets.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Princess is both.
Maybe.
Yeah, Princess What's-Her-Face, Princess Peach, or Princess Astro or something is from Voltron.
Princess Astro Glide.
But the Battle of the Planets kids were Mark, Jason, Tiny, Kiop, and Princess.
I see.
Or Condor Joe, if you're Japanese. Konnichiwa.
Anyway, we're working on the Subastral Glide.
Yes. Steven!
Oh.
NSFW references, please.
This is why you like doing this early in the morning.
Astral Submariner, right? Yes.
Submariner, there we go.
Submariner. You Submariner, you brought her. That was my one. So, Rodrigo, we're docked at Ten Tails Island.
That's what I hear.
And
appropriately enough, work is slow going because Randus needs to do a lot of research for this to progress. That actually has given the rest of you some amount of time to walk around the island. You know, the island is a settlement. That doesn't belong to any given god, so it's pretty cosmopolitan. It is this time of year, largely on the Dark Council side of things. But there are plenty of representatives from each of the gods, as well as, you know, plenty of people who are just there to make a buck or... island natives and things like that. it's pretty varied as to what you can do and find. So while Randos is working on that, we will actually pick up with Sir Brenzin as what would Sir Brenzin do if he had some time off?
That's what people ask with their little bracelets every day. What would Sir Brenzin? Brenzin is more than likely going to be wandering about doing Coralani kind of stuff. So my regular, you know, daily divinity type stuff, and maybe kind of looking for anything entertaining and or worthy of my time, seeing if there's anybody who needs to be smote or, you know, talked to or taught the awesomeness that is Coralon. I don't know.
Cool.
Maybe start a bar fight, huh?
Okay. So you've made your way to a, kind of there's probably a main marketplace and there's probably like smaller marketplaces around, like just smaller kind of cul-de-sacs around it. So you've made your way to one of those, and as you are walking around looking at interesting trinkets, you suddenly get that feeling like somebody armed is standing behind you.
I shall turn quickly.
Okay. As you turn, you see an elf. This elf is wearing a leather armor, a long blue cloak, has a pair of swords, both of them attached to his belt on the left side. He has a large clasp to his cloak that has Coralon's symbol on it. You recognize him as Ildrilan, one of the guys who was in your class while you were in a seminary.
Cool. I shall greet him with our orders. A ritual greeting. What's up, brother?
Hey, man.
What are you doing out this far?
Oh, this and that. I'm actually... they're actually getting my ship ready right now, so... mostly I'm just wandering around, seeing if anybody needs smiting.
That's exactly what I've been up to as well.
Yes, I thought so. I did hear that you've been on a pretty hush-hush mission.
That would indeed be the case.
Hmm. Are you, is that, big fat whale of a ship? The one that you've been riding around in?
I'm not sure which one you mean, but let's say yes.
Interesting. Yeah, just kind of starts walking, sort of, expecting you to come along with him.
I match his gait and try to remain mindful of where we're going.
Okay, here's the thing. He's an elf. And even though this elf doesn't behave like a lot of other elves, I mean, you've met him and you know that he's different. Really, you don't join Coralons. You don't actually become a priest of Coralon without being a little bit
off.
Yeah.
Weird.
Fancy, at least. But he still has that elf thing where he is, like, really intense and actually makes you kind of weirdly aware of where you are at all times. He just brings the tension in the room slightly up wherever he is, just like all other elves.
Is that true of Eladrin as well?
No, that is true exclusively of elves.
All right. Well, my left half is elven, so...
Yeah. Well,
I shall match his face with my left half.
Okay.
Because I am a left half elf.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm now feeling kind of creepy and hyper vigilant.
Yes.
As I walk with Endrillin.
Yep.
Okay.
So I saw another swordsman come out of that ship.
All right.
All right. You know, blonde Eladrin. You know what I'm talking about?
I do indeed.
All right.
I'm feeling hypervigilant and a little bit weird. He's part of the Layman Initiative.
All right, that thing. How's that working out?
Surprisingly well on this end, although I haven't heard anything from the other envoys.
I see. So, how is he with that sword?
In my experience, not nearly to my level, but certainly skilled.
Wait, in your experience, you haven't dueled him?
Not yet.
Wow. They give a guy a knightly title and he just drops all pretense, doesn't he?
There have been other factors at play.
I see. Well, it's seems like kind of a waste to me.
I'm not sure what you mean.
To be traveling around another swordsman and not, you know, testing yourself, testing him.
For a moment in my ears, I heard a quite distinctive ringing. I'm sorry I missed that.
Oh, that's all right. They have some weird bells around here.
I suppose you might have a point. But again, I've been somewhat occupied with sword fighting other people and things.
All right, all right. As long as as long as it's not that that you're actually, you know, putting it off because you're concerned about his skill and how that might make you look.
If I were afraid of a fight, no one would know it.
I suppose that's true. So, you guys keep walking, and as you continue to walk, you get closer to sort of the main part of the island, sort of where that big marketplace is. Mm-hmm. And you guys actually spot Orym, who is clearly heading back to the place where you guys, to the shop that you guys have basically rented. He is carrying some scrolls.
Sir Brinson?
Orym! I would like you to meet one of the brothers of my fold. Mm. His name is Endrillin.
Ildrillin.
That too.
Mm. Hello.
Hello! Hey, I noticed you have a pretty fine sword there.
Thank you.
You know how to use it?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yes, it is.
I sort of step back and wait for the fireworks to start at this point.
Brinson here talks pretty highly of you.
Really? That's a surprise.
No, it would be a surprise if you spoke highly of me, sir.
Yes, that also would be true.
Well, you know, we in Corlon's fold, we are always looking for new and interesting experiences, always looking to learn and always looking to teach.
And you should have got assigned to Sir Brinson's duty, because we've been seeing all sorts of interesting things.
I would.
You'll excuse me, gentlemen. I've got to get these scrolls back to Tyrandus.
Sure, sure. And as you start walking away, he turns to Sir Brinson and is like, I don't know. You're the one with the reed. Do you think he was scared?
I don't believe so, no.
Oh, good. Hey, Eladrin.
What do you want?
A duel.
That's great. I'm sure you can find many number of people who would take you up on that menial task right now. I, on the other hand, am quite busy.
Oh. That's unfortunate, and he just falls right into step with you. So, you got something pressing that you need to do right now?
In case you haven't heard, there is a pressing matter of the end of the universe.
Oh. That is quite pressing. Well, I can wait. When do you think you'll have your next break from saving the universe?
As soon as we're done saving the universe.
Oh, all right.
But we might have to go on to other universe-saving matters right away. Like last time.
Something like that would never happen.
He looks over at Sir Brenzen. Kind of shrugs. Keeps walking along with you guys.
This guy's a full elf?
Yeah.
Alright.
You know, pointy ears. Very intense.
Not just a half elf like...
No. He doesn't behave like other elves you've met. Mm, okay. They tend to be very serious. This guy is weirdly not serious.
Yeah.
He's sort of like a Han Solo elf.
Yeah.
Or actually, Abed playing Han Solo as an elf.
Kind of, if you will.
It's a weird, interesting, amusing image.
This is entertainingly awkward, actually.
Yes.
I find myself perversely entertained by this.
So, what are your current plans for saving the universe, Orym?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Sorry, can't speak a lot about it. Top secret, you know.
Oh, sure, I understand.
We do have these pods of casting, you know, if you would have subscribed. Maybe paid a little fee here and there. Perhaps you'd know what's going on. You wouldn't have to ask questions like, are we a level one or what's going on?
I thought this was all secret.
This is all secret.
But you have pods of casting?
Only if you're willing to pay enough money.
I see. How much are they?
$2, $5, or $10 a month.
Hmm. I don't suppose you could, maybe if I had money stored somewhere, I don't suppose you could mystically lift it from that place so that I wouldn't have to keep remembering.
Not. Certainly not of your kind. Sorry, good day.
I had some kind of pal who was willing to pay for me.
Not of my kind.
Sorry.
What do you mean by that?
You know what I mean. Good day.
I'm not entirely sure I do.
Well, good day.
He just keeps upright with you.
That's fine.
Is it?
We'll see.
Did Orym just throw a racial slur?
I believe he did.
I don't think he really threw a racial slur as opposed to just kind of dismissed him because of his race.
Okay. That's troubling.
Is it really?
Is it?
Not if you've been listening to this episode one.
Is this in character?
No, this is
then keep
character.
It in character. All right, you guys get back to the shop.
Okay. Hello, Randus.
Hey, Ormo, you got the stuff. That's
yes,
good.
Yes, I do. This person tagged along. I don't know. I've not met him before. Apparently, he's a friend of Brenzen's.
Ah.
Hey, Ilderlin.
Hey, I'm Randus Duthane.
Oh, good to meet you.
Pardon me. Got some work to do here. Hey, you assistant. Usually, as you should help find a coefficient that we've been meaning to solve. We need to get back to work on that.
Okay. Glock can be there too if you want.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. We've been here for how long?
Probably a couple days now.
Long enough for him to be bored.
Oh, this is certainly... There's not a lot going on here.
There's nature out there, right?
Oh, sure.
I'm not in nature.
Okay.
He's communing.
Yep.
I'm looking top.
Dating this lovely jellyfish girl. Actually, he's glaw. I would be like...
So, you guys are there at the shop. Randus is working pretty hard. Everybody else is kind of standing around.
Looking awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Having that moment. I like that moment.
So, So, it's, not a lot happening right now.
Nope, we wait.
You want to do something while we wait?
Depends on what it is, but I...
How about a duel?
No, thank you.
Why not?
Really, I don't really have...
Time?
No, I don't have the interest in dueling with you.
Why not?
Just because. What is the point?
Oh, you're not a scholar of the sword. You just keep it around for protection.
I've used it on occasion.
So you're not a scholar of the sword.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So you are?
I've been used to use the sword quite effectively.
But you don't study sword techniques. You just use it for defense.
And attacking occasionally. And killing. And maiming. Bringing down gods. Perhaps you've heard of us.
He looks over at Brenzen.
I shrug.
Looks back at Orym. Well, I find that challenging other swordsmen helps me improve my technique.
Yeah. I can see that.
But that's not something you'd be interested in.
Not right now.
I see. What are you interested in right now?
Well, I'm interested in communicating back with the Feywild and those people that are there. We've lost touch with them for a better part of a year, over a year now. That's concerning. We can always look into that. Always looking out for those that are representing the Void, aligned with the Void, spying for the Void. Those are things that concern me. Practicing my swordsmanship with someone like you does not interest me.
Someone like you?
Yep.
What do you mean, someone like me?
I think you know.
I really don't.
Oh, I think you really do.
I think I certainly don't.
I turn to Brenzen. Are we going to do this now?
I'm not entirely sure what this is.
Come on. You know the reason that we don't like you is because you abandoned us. You thought you were too high and mighty for the rest of us, so you left. And you left us to defend ourselves, and you patted us on the head like little children, and wandered off into the other world. You abandoned us, and you don't think that your leaving us did not create animosity and hatred towards you.
Apparently. I'm guessing Brenzen and Ildrilan kind of look at each other, look back at Orym. Okay, that was interesting. You mean historically?
Yes.
Back in time immemorial?
Yes.
Back after our people ceased to be a single people?
Yes.
You know, the stories say that the elves left the Feywild to avoid conflict with the Eladrin.
But you also treated us as little immature children. And you thought you were better than us, and that is why you left, as opposed to sticking around and trying to work things out.
You say us, and we, and you, and they, as though any of us has any bearing on us, well, on you, on I.
Emotions run long and deep. And generations, it still bothers a number of us.
Does it bother the eldest among you, or the youngest among you?
I think it's a mix, quite honestly.
I see. Well, Orym, I think that if it was up to me, maybe I wouldn't have left.
Well, that's kind of you to say that.
Definitely not if I had such an interesting conversation. So, you're mad at us? At all of us?
Pretty much.
Orym, this happened... This happened literally so long ago...
Right.
...that time has changed since then.
Right. But we still battle the drow every single day. We still have conflicts with those entities that together we could have worked out. We could have made the Feywild less dangerous than it is.
But you're concerned about us patting you on the head. If we had stayed as the eldest tribe, we would have done that. We would have been above you. You would have always been in our shadow. The Feywild belongs to the Eladrin. It is yours.
Well,
we, by leaving, we gave it to you.
Mm-hmm. And you gave us all the trouble that came with it. You didn't take care of anything before you left. You forced us to deal with the drow specifically, which has been troubling for generations.
Orym, do you like your sword?
I do like my sword very much.
What happens when you draw a sword? When you own a sword, when you draw a sword, when you have a sword,
mm-hmm.
you have to take on all the responsibilities
right.
that means.
That's
know,
true.
I know that if you are as consummate a warrior as you would need to be hanging around with Sir Brenzen, I know that you understand that. I know that mm-hmm. if you draw a weapon, you have to be prepared to use it.
Right.
Along with all the trouble that that will bring you.
That's true.
It is a responsibility.
That's why it's very important that I draw my sword when it's needed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are we back at the duel now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was actually hoping to do with the practice swords.
You could do practice swords, but again, I don't see what the point is going to be if you're trying to prove that you're better than me.
Orym, I'm not trying to prove that I'm better than you. I'm actually hoping to improve myself by fighting you.
Whatever.
Could you see yourself improving by fighting me?
I don't know. I've not heard of you. I know nothing about you.
Aren't you a little bit curious?
Sure, why not? If you want to fight, let's fight.
Fantastic. When?
Move the tables.
All right.
A
squadron assistants moves the tables. Sir Brenzen, you want to get in on this?
I think at this point it'll be best if I referee.
That's sounds good to me. He takes off his backpack, opens it up, and pulls out a big wooden blade, like a big wooden sword, you know, with like a little
rattan,
cross guard. Yep.
Rattan.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then he pulls out another one, then another one, then another one. He pulls out four swords, lays them down, and motions for you to take one.
So what do we got? All look the same?
They all look exactly the same. You can pick one up
pick
and
one
play
up.
With it,
yeah.
pick another
they
one up.
They all feel the same, same weight, same balance.
More or less. You know, very slight variations. Like, they are clearly...
Compared to the sword that I currently have, longer,
well,
shorter?
Probably a little shorter than the one you have, because okay. the one you have is, like, very thin and
right,
long.
Right, and this is what, more of a scimitar, or more
no,
of
they're
a
just... Think of a... I mean, they are broadsword. Almost round. No, not
okay.
a whole... Not a full-on broadsword. Also not, like, they're basically, like, think of, like, your archetypal longsword.
Yeah.
That's basically what
okay.
they are.
Very good.
Sort of a Singapore cane.
Yep.
In Singapore.
Yep. He, also, after you're done selecting, walks over, he takes off his swords and puts them aside and looks around and picks two up, takes the other one and puts it back in his backpack. And kind of walks over to the cleared out area.
What are you looking at? How much space?
Yep. I mean, I'm going to draw stuff up.
All right.
Go ahead and roll initiative, Steven. Orym and Ildrilin square off. Ildrilin says, what do you think? Three touches?
Sure.
Very well. Do you want this to be strict sword play, or do you want to bring other stuff to the table? Honestly, I'm all for that.
Fine.
But is it reasonable to only do sword touches as the points?
Sure.
Very well. Hmm. He does a little twirly thing with his blades. And... Yep. He,
Orym Rivendor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Looks over... He, looks over at Sir Brenzen.
Sir Brenzen gives the signal.
Okay.
I don't want to, like, drop a hanky like Natalie Wood in that one movie, but something manly.
All right. How about just an open palm? Yes. An open palm forward and yell out begin.
Round one. Fight.
All right. So, first round. As Orym finishes his twirls, there's an elf in his face. And he is going to just take a swipe at his knees.
Swipe knees.
Swipe at the knees.
Swiping the knee.
Ooh, that's low. That's going to be a 20 versus AC.
Miss.
All right. So, what are you thinking? Parry or backflip?
Always a backflip.
He was going at your knees.
Yeah, I think I'll jump up and come down with a basic attack.
Flying, go for it.
Flying kick.
But he has to hit him with the sword.
I do.
Hadouken!
He'll stagger him.
Yep. Let's see. That is 27 versus AC.
27 versus AC will hit.
So do we need to calculate in damage or
no, just these one are hit? Yeah.
Okay. So that was my attack.
First draw.
And
you're going to teleport over there?
I think I'm just going to teleport. Use my
okay phase step.
Phase step.
Okay. All right, you come down, pop him on the shoulder, and immediately teleport away.
Mm-hmm.
You want to call that Sir Brenzen?
Yes, I'll call that Sir Brenzen.
Okay.
I call that my Sir Brenzen, and from there on out, that move will always be known as the Sir Brenzen.
Seems about right. Some guy runs at you, misses on account of your colossal AC, and then you pop him in the head. That's about how Sir Brenzen does it.
You can't duck because that's taken.
Right. So everything is on the table, right?
Everything is on the table. Presumably, the unspoken rules here is this is a duel. You're not trying to kill each other.
Right.
But, yes, I mean, he probably specifically said that
okay.
So that he could also use his ridiculousness.
Okay.
Speaking of which.
Some ridiculous coming up.
Yep. So
ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous.
Ildralyn smiles and basically runs up to Orym. Starts spinning around as he approaches, as this like blue sparkly start flying out of them, and he actually yells out flamboyant strike, and these sparklies just explode all over the room as this out of it this blade comes out and tries to hit Orym on the head.
Bawash boom. That was pretty cool.
Yep, that's gonna be a 30 even versus AC.
Yep, that'll hit.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. So, and it just hits, just taps you on the head, but then the swirlies just wrap around you. So he's going to slide you one square, and basically the swirlies are not going to go away, so you are dazed.
Okay.
Boo.
And so that will do
until the end of his next turn. You can only take one. You basically have one standard action.
Blast him!
You hit him with something that holds him still.
Mm-hmm. So we are at 1-1.
Yep.
Hmm.
Unless you want a different color for...
What do you have? We'll do blue. See, Orym dresses in blue, but yeah. The whole Corlon thing is that they're blue. Right. Like we can do blue and green will be the elf. Which if you have
green?
A green one.
I don't think I have a green one.
Okay. What do you have? That orange one won't be seen very well. We can just go black for the elf.
Do you want straight up black? Or?
Yep. Just because that black and white will be fairly legible. So, yes.
So, I'm dazed.
You can you get this? Do you think this is in the shot? We'll slide it right Let's up see. To the...
Scoreboard.
Oh, yeah, that's in there.
Can they see the numbers?
Yeah. They will whenever we crop this. So.
Okay.
I would say if we need to, we can use the sparkly one for Orym since it's a bit bigger.
And Sir Branson probably like runs over here to get a better look at the fight.
Dunk, 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 dunk.
So Orym slammed into the wall or just moved into the wall?
Basically staggers back into... Because these are like... Okay. All these little flashy things.
So I respond in the only way that I can at this point with my lightning serpent.
Okay. Is that going to cause a status effect on him if it hits?
As far as what? He takes...
What's the hit?
Well, he takes the hit, and he
It's not
going to
be
slowed.
From your sword, though.
He's slowed.
Oh, yeah. That would do it.
Okay.
What? Won't really do anything, because he's only one space away from you.
Yeah.
So unless you knock him back some, which, I mean, you have your action point, so you'd be able to, you might be able to circumvent around him to prevent him from... I mean, if you have something that dazes, would probably be the best.
I don't think I have anything that dazes, though. A concussive echo.
You have your hypnotic pattern, which could pull him away and slow him.
Oh, there you go. Let's do that.
Hypnotic!
And okay. I think I'm going to use my wand of accuracy for that.
You don't have to declare that until...
Until after?
Right. Until you roll the attack in it.
Hopefully. All right, where's my hypnotic pattern attack on this sheet?
It'll be red, so it'll be on the...
but it's there.
Bam. Actually, isn't hypnotic pattern...
It just, you just declare it where you're putting it.
How far away does the guy have to be?
It's range 10.
Nice.
Yeah, but there's a... within a burst radius of the pattern.
Swirling pattern.
To effect...
In an hypnotic sphere, you can use the hypnotic pattern attack. Use the pattern square as the origin square. There's another one that goes with it. That's what I was looking for because there are two. Here it is. Hypnotic pattern attack. Burst 3.
Okay, so you want to put it within 3 squares of them. But also so that you are not within 2 squares of them when he gets pulled. 1, 2, because he'll just be able to walk 4. It.
So I can move here?
Yeah, you can drop it there.
You can drop it there, and that'll pull him away pretty far.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and that'll...
All right, so a hypnotic pattern attack.
Well, that's on his turn, which I guess is coming up, so go ahead and roll it.
Okay.
That's a D12, Orym.
Oh, I'm sorry. Duh. I'm so confused.
He's been dazed.
That's pretty low. It's a 14. A 14 versus will. I don't know if that would, with my
wand of accuracy. Pull that out.
I don't think it'll pull it up.
It's your dex modifier. Look there in that one. So that'll be 4.
Yeah, 18 probably versus will probably isn't going to...
It's not going to hit.
No, okay. Okay, so that stays there.
All right, well, it's his turn. And I'm guessing nothing happens on a miss with that.
The hypnotic pattern.
Check the attack one.
Yeah, check the attack one, the green one.
Hit, no. The trigger is an enemy within 3 squares of the pattern.
Starts their turn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't you have 2 things that you can toss on for a bonus to hit?
He has if he powered up his weapon.
But he's not using his sword, so...
True.
Yeah.
So he couldn't be able to use it. Okay.
Which would also drive...
Let's see. So... As a minor action, he is going to squint at you and try to get a read on you and try to make an attack.
From range?
Yep.
Boo.
Ooh. Fancy pants elf.
Yep. Let's see. That's going to be a 32 versus Will.
Oh.
I think yep. that's going to hit. That hits.
Okay. You grant him combat advantage. Because he has now read how you are fighting.
Okay.
And then he's going to...
randomly pulling things out of my butt.
Yep.
That's what he now realized.
It's not too hard to figure that out.
He is going to... go here. And once again, just try to bop you on the head. There's nothing too fancy about it.
Head bop.
Head bop. He misses.
Oh.
You should have tried the Blitzkrieg bop. It's much more successful.
Yep. Clearly
there's another song stuck in my head.
Clearly he overread your movements.
Oh, did I need to do a save last throw?
No, this is at the end of his turn, so you are no longer dazed.
No longer dazed.
No longer dazed, all right. So I'll respond. Basic attack again. Epic fail.
Back and forth.
Action point.
So there's really...
action point, I think.
So this really great thing happens where Ildrelin tries to get a read on Orym, rushes over, just swings at him, at which point Orym is kind of stumbling back, and he just, like, basically... smacks the wall. Orym sees an opening and flips his sword over, and now basically, because they both totally whiffed, they're kind of like back to back against each other.
Okay.
I like it.
As they're both trying to regain their footing from all that right. awful turn.
Yes, but I will use my action point.
Okay.
Even worse. Miss.
That's 17. Not even worse.
It's not worse.
17.
That's slightly better.
17 versus AC.
That is not going to hit him.
Yes. What about a...
I don't think you can use one of accuracy on this.
You can't, okay. again.
Right.
Nope.
Well, did he use...
Oh, he didn't use it, but actually time, he can't on a basic attack anyway.
Right. Yeah. Oh.
Because it has to be right. a wizard power.
Makes it.
All right. Still 1-1.
So I still have.
You still have a move and a
move,
minor.
But that it would.
You can shift away from him.
Move and a minor.
Back into a corner though. Boom. So
it's almost like you moved there on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, I can go here.
Okay,
you could go there. Or you could go pin him against the out. Wall.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean here?
Here.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, I'll do that.
I dodge out of the way like Charles Robinson.
Okay.
You know, since he is going to be able to step up to you anyways.
Yeah.
All right, his turn. He is going to... let's see what else he's got. Nope. Not relevant. Which is a good thing. For everyone. All right. Clearly, bopping you on the head is not going to work, so he's going to try to just basically come straight at you with the tip of the sword for a stab.
Okay.
Just with a at will. Let's see. Twenty-four versus AC.
Oh, suddenly my shield kicks in. Miss.
Okay. You wanna? You gotta give me the rest of the list while we're here of things you have prepared and should have told me before we got here.
Sure. I've got shield. I've got dimension door, and I've got. I've already used lightning serpent. And
you didn't.
You didn't use lightning
serpent. Oh, I didn't use that. Oh, okay. Well, I've got lightning serpent and the phantasmal assailant.
Okay.
So, comes in.
Two.
Phantasmal Assailant.
Eight. Should have three
daily attacks and two utility powers.
Okay.
So, shield and... yeah.
So, shield and dimension door should be his utilities.
Right. Okay.
And then his attacks should be the serpent, the assailant.
And probably flaming sphere, but...
okay.
That's not
flaming
help
sphere
here.
Is your go-to.
Yeah, could block him.
It is. No, wait. So as the sword as the comes in with his pointy bit of his tip, mm-hmm. chunk, hand goes up.
Yep.
Bong. An invisible force blocks his path.
Yeah.
Does it really go blong?
Blong. You can't hear it because it's such a low tone for half-elves.
Yeah. You know, that's the opposite of how it works, right?
Yeah. That's it's the opposite, so and also
if he was
awful.
A full elf, he would be able to hear it.
Ah, I see. So, yes, he comes at you and basically has to bend his elbow at a really awkward angle because, you know, it's an impenetrable force.
Mm-hmm.
And as he goes down, he's basically going to jump up and swirl around in the same direction that his elbow is bending and come at you again by spending his action point.
Okay.
At least shield till the end of the turn.
Yep.
And we'll probably miss. That's going to be a 19 versus AC.
Yep, that is a miss.
Who needs a shield?
Missed it by that much.
You know, it's really weird that, you know, this basic attack is actually more powerful than Lightning Serpent if we're just looking for AC.
Lightning Serpent doesn't attack.
Yeah, that attacks his reflex, which I don't know what his reflex is, so.
Usually probably pretty high.
And it doesn't matter because Lightning Serpent would not actually be count
it's
as a hit.
To tick, yeah. So back to a basic attack.
Cool.
So he came in with the other sword down.
Yep.
Missed. So as he's missing, Orym kind of does that fancy lean mode where the sword kind of swooshes by his hair in slow motion.
Okay.
And Orym kind of does a also spin coming around. Now his back would be at where he swings.
He's got his back turned.
Towards you.
Yeah. Basically, you can both. He's essentially landing right now, so you can both be in midair right now.
Oh.
19 versus AC.
Yeah, that will not hit.
Miss.
That Scott Pilgrim Gideon moment where you both miss.
Yep. Oh, pretty much something.
Well, that's been going on a lot.
Something awesome definitely just happened in which there was a bounce off a shield and then you saw two guys basically go and like blades everywhere, but they never hit each other.
Right.
All right. top of the round, if you will.
What the hell is wrong with these dice?
Those are Brian's.
He's going to shift over here.
Nope.
Here, use mine.
And just gonna take a basically going to try a feint with one of his blades and try to catch you on the reverse. That's not very good. 21 versus AC.
No, that's a miss.
Okay.
So I just raise my sword up and bring it down.
onto his
crown.
Cool.
That will be a 26 versus AC.
26 versus AC will not hit.
Dang it.
Dang.
On the Labanza.
He basically, you know, goes in, does the feint, goes in, doesn't hit. As you come down, he just brings both of his swords up and catches your sword in a double parry.
Double parry.
He's going to shift over
Mr.
here.
Mr. Mason? Mr. White. Mr. White? Mr. Mason.
And
No Oprah.
Let's see. He's going to, once again, try to get a read on you. That's going to be a 28 versus Will.
Yes, that hits. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
No, AC and reflex. That's all right.
You grant him combat advantage.
All right.
Also, you already used shield, did you not?
Yes. It goes until the end of my next turn, so it would have just...
No, your
whatever
your
already
turn
gone.
Already happened because you attacked.
Right. Yeah, edited it after he caught your sword.
Yep. All right, Orym turn.
Orym turn.
What are you doing? I'm going to shift up here.
Okay.
And attack him with a basic attack. Miss.
Okay.
Wow.
Ildrilin turn. He's going to attack Orym. What with our newfound combat advantage?
Yuck.
This time, he will do a similar move as his parry, except he'll just bring both swords at once on either side of Orym. Huh. That's going to be a 26 versus AC.
Yuck.
Question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When can I use my sword mage?
You need to spend a minor action to say sword mage warding.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So next time.
So next time after he hit me.
So that's a hit then?
Yes.
Okay.
Tonk.
And
although I'm not sure that point really counts because, you know, Sir Brenzen's just standing there in the corner.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have been taught by Rodrigo not to interrupt people when they're talking.
He is going to shift over here afterwards.
I can start interrupting Steven now.
All right. So Orym will
it's time.
Shift again with the basic attack.
Charles Robinson.
And there we go. That's going to hit. That is a, 32 against AC.
That will certainly hit.
Minor action! Sword mage warding! Suddenly, this is really weird, but it looks like my armor gets thicker. It just goes...
So what you're saying is...
I don't get bigger, but it looks like my armor gets larger.
So there's an underlying energy that beefs up the armor.
Yes.
Sort of, you know, his armor probably has, like, cool shoulder pads. Because it's cloth armor.
Yeah.
You know, so it just kind of seems to get, like, energy padding underneath.
So it's like there's some, like, sparks along the floor, like a crackling energy along the floor that goes and travels up my legs.
Cool.
Till it's all the way up. And I get a plus 3 to AC?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it a plus 3 to everything or just plus 3 to AC?
Just AC, I think. Okay. Which is fine, because that's what he's been attacking.
Okay.
Unless he's trying to get combat advantage.
That's true.
Which he still has, because it's the end of his next turn, I think.
Well, then so he lost it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We're tied at 2 points.
You should be doing that in your Howard Cosell voice.
Truly a fascinating warriors. Tussle between two titans of the pointy-eared persuasion. Here in Randus's lab, we witness a battle for the ages. The ages 6 to 12.
All right. He's going to shift over here. And as he does, he's going to try to do a little bit of a... Basically, he's going to tumble over there and try to catch Orym
by surprise.
Yes, by surprise.
Boop.
It's going to be a 29 versus AC.
Oh, just hits. So much for my big armor.
That's okay.
That's it. That's 3.
That is 3.
3 points. Are we play 2-3 or we play 2-4?
We were playing 2-3. That was the agreement.
This match is over. The Eladrin Paladin has fallen to the Elvish Juggernaut. This is Brenzen the Bold for ABC Sports. And I don't know where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Starting to transition into Jackie Mason, which would have been probably a little bit more entertaining. And
so, Ildrilin finishes his tumble and kind of ends up with sort of both blades out, down on one knee, and goes, stands up, takes both, you know, both swords by the blade on one hand, and extends a hand out to Orym.
Orym gives him a bow. Well played, sir.
Well played. He, you know, retrieves his hand but puts it on his chest and bows to you. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
It was interesting.
Well, do me a favor, Orym, and, you know, tosses the swords over to where his backpack is. So, as you know, I'm part of a church, and we do have a message. So I really, the one thing that I want you to do, if you ever listen to an elf, is I want you to think about this fight and to learn something from it, whatever it is.
Taken into consideration.
That's all we can really ask for. Well, Brenson, if you're here another day, I'd be very happy to give it a go with you.
We'll have to see.
All right. He packs up his swords. Well, I sure learned a lot from this. I'll hopefully see you guys around.
It's good seeing you again, sir.
And he walks out.
Sad piano plays as he exits.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think it's...
It's a little bit more jubilant than it.
Yep.
Oh, jubilant piano plays.
Probably some ragtime music.
Yeah, probably. That seems like more his speed.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the last scene of the Sting.
Actually, yes. I would say for him, since he's all elvish and stuff, it's probably more like a... Like an upbeat fiddle tune.
There you go.
An upbeat fiddle tune.
Yep, because that's the only fiddle tune Matthew
knows. True.
That would have been better for last episode.
Yep.
Oh.
None of us knew how to play, though.
Yeah. I know, clearly. All right.
Yeah,
so
but wouldn't it have been cool if Torque had stood up and told Asmodeus that he's the best it's ever been?
So at this point, Randus has heard enough commotion on the other side of what he's working on to peek over.
So, what's been going on?
Preaching, lecturing.
Corlon's grace.
I see.
Yeah. My armor powers down.
So what you're saying is at the end of the battle, your armor goes...
It goes...
Arm just hits the walls and...
flies around him.
Yeah. If you actually manage to catch a hold of him and stretch him, he goes... No, not canon.
But only Chinch
too late.
Has
they've
that
already
power.
Updated the wiki page.
You already updated the wiki.
Yeah, it's already on the wiki. Yeah, fine.
No, there is no wiki page. They keep taking it down.
Yeah,
it doesn't have enough relevance.
Well, I could get.
How's
some
it coming? How's it coming on that submarine?
I think we're pretty close now. I did a few more minor adjustments, and I think we'll be ready to try her out.
Excellent.
Want to wrap there?
Yep. Works sounds like a good place to wrap this week and get into some email questions. Questions that people have sent to podcast at majorspoilers.com. Like this one from, I think it's Isaac.
Hi, Isaac.
I'm going to run a game and I want to put in NPCs to fight with the characters. How should I do this? Should I play as the NPCs or should I give the players another character sheet? Please help me. P.S. Smith/Kett is the best. Sorry, Torque.
Woo!
So I have a question.
Do we need to start keeping a tally? Okay.
Yes. No. What's your question, Matthew?
I guess I don't understand the question, but
well,
because
basically
to me, really any combat is going to be NPCs fighting the characters.
No.
Well,
he's talking about a phony character. I think he means
characters.
On the side of the characters, yes.
Yeah. Ah.
Or the Queen's Rebellious Daughter.
Right.
I mean, if there's...
Who may or may not be a nod to Doctor Who.
Have I ever had just, like, straight-up NPCs join you guys in a fight with, like, actual stats and attacks and stuff like that?
I don't...
The only time would have been Coyle, and that was
daughter
actually
helped us out in Tuberville.
Oh, that's true. Well, yeah, exactly, like the Queen's Rebellious Daughter. So that is one way you can do it. You can just find... There are actually rules in the book, in the Dungeon Master's Guide, about what to do when an NPC helps the characters. And basically, what that comes down to is you find a monster that matches your NPC, or you build a monster that matches your NPC, and you just throw them into the fight. As far as the XP calculation, you just subtract that monster's XP from the XP of the fight, and then divide it evenly without counting that character. And that'll give you both the XP for the fight, the difficulty for the fight, etc.
Right.
That's one way to do it. The other thing is to give those character sheets to the players. If you do that, I would still urge you to find monsters.
Yeah.
Instead of... but
actually statting up another
PC. Yeah, instead of statting up another PC, because PCs have tons of options, tons of skills, and all that other stuff. So I would urge you to do that. And monsters still have skills that they're good at. If you look at the very bottom of their stats block, they'll be like, this guy has a colossal perception, right? And things like that. And so that way they'll still kind of second fiddle to the PCs, but they still get to help.
Yeah.
Rodrigo's word for the week is colossal.
I think it's fiddle.
But also, something that's very... And this is me, actually, giving what I consider to be the Rodrigo voice of caution speech. When I think about how do I have NPCs fight alongside the players, my first thought is probably don't.
That is true.
And because there are a couple of issues with it. One, an NPC character is always going to be perceived as you, because usually the NPC character has your voice. If you have somebody, you know, splitting their attention and doing more than one character because they have that second character sheet, it can lead to confusion, it can lead to difficulty. But let's say you have an awesome team of four, and let's say you get to the end of the battle, and let's say we're going to call them Tark, who is a half ogre, and then there's Jones, who's this guy, and then there's an elfy guy, and then there's another guy named Randall. And you have all these characters, and you get to the end, and something happens. If the NPC strikes that final blow in the battle, or makes the defining moment in the battle, it can be confusing, both from a narrative standpoint and from a player standpoint, because... From a player standpoint, it's like, well, we didn't get any of the glory because the NPC did X. But from a narrative standpoint, it's like, you know, Ket and Tork and Randus and Smith set off from the city of Moonhold, and then eventually a guy named Dave came in and won the battle for them.
That is actually a funny that you even bring that up, because if you'll recall, I'm pretty sure that the last blow against the thing that shatters the sky was actually Coil.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I, you know, resent that to this very day. I'm just saying that it can stick with you. But then again, Coil is an exception in that Coil was played by Rob. And Rob has that, you know, chameleon-like perception to where no matter what character he plays, it's always Rob. So you got that going for you.
Monty says, "Dear Critical Hit, thank you all very much for providing this with this high-quality D&D podcast. After a few months of listening, I've tried out other D&D casts, but always find myself waiting for Matthew to crack a joke. I have a question. I GM a homebrew game for four of my friends who are new to D&D, and after I recommended your podcast to them, they've consistently been stepping out of their comfort zone and trying new and more creative ideas. Yeah, in the awesome. Last session, the players were fighting in a Colosseum-like arena. Roughly halfway through the combat encounter, Ket rolled a perfect 20 and changed the... What? No, wait. Roughly halfway through the combat encounter, a player decided she would pick up a handful of dirt and throw it in the eyes of an enemy, hoping to blind him. I called in an improvised ranged weapon, and when she rolled a nat 20, I blinded the character, save ends. Cool. This may have been a bad decision on my part, I admit, because the leader will now double as a controller when she is not actively healing. I quickly changed the terrain for the rest of the adventure so this would not occur, but the striker, who is a ranger, decided to fashion a black egg-like weapon. If you're not familiar with ninja weapons, it's an egg filled with ground-up glass and painted black. This acts as a blinding weapon in any situation and has been given to each member of the party. I want to reward clever ideas, but this is seriously thwarting my creature selection in upcoming adventures. Suggestions?"
Set those up as actual items that they're paying for.
Yeah.
I'm reasonably certain there's going to be some sort of alchemical item or single-use item, maybe a weapon or a ammunition or something that's going to do that exact effect.
Blinding.
Have them purchase that item as the blinding eggs.
Right. My advice would be congratulations on herding your players along to be more creative. Now stop it. Because they will become so creative that they turn your game upside down. You can say, "I'm sorry, I know that you can, in real life, you can get some super cool eggs and fill them with glass and they will blind people, But that is not anywhere in the rules. If you have a power that allows you to blind people, you can certainly flavor it that way. Instead of saying, I throw my shuriken at them, you can say, I throw this blinding egg at them.
But what about the idea of this improvised range weapon? Are those things
that was
allowed?
Okay. That as a one-time thing, and you, yeah. And here is where where the narrative becomes important.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many times have you read a story in which the characters find themselves in a coliseum, mm-hmm. and somebody picks up some dirt, throws it in the bad guy's face, and then wins that way? Mm-hmm. Lots of times, right? Mm-hmm. How many books have you read where that happens twice? What about three times? What about five times?
Right.
Even Gilligan only did it once.
Exactly. So since it was important for the plot that it happened, it's perfectly fine that you ruled it that way. That is not a bad thing. But you have to tell your players, this worked once because it was awesome. And you can use those words. And if they've been listening to Critical Hit, I think they will understand.
So, from
and also...
go ahead, Matthew.
I am certainly not saying that a game master should ever manipulate the rules to his liking, because that would be wrong. But if an item like that works once and then starts failing on a regular basis... And I'm not saying, you know, make it fail. I'm saying if there are failures, when it's not something that is awesome and continues working, there are times when you can lead your characters to creatively deciding, hey, let's not do that as well.
Well, and you know, if a character just absolutely wants to base themselves on, now I have this thing that blinds monsters, then you can always just have it beat any of his attacks, and the monster goes, ah, I am temporarily blinded, but by the time my turn starts, I have cleared out all the glass shards. You know, the important thing is the narrative. If it's important for the narrative, then you can always skin everything so that it fits into that. If the important thing is the stats, then you can say, there are no stats for this, so no.
I'm just curious, and I don't know, maybe somewhat puzzled as someone who has played against Rodrigo and knows that he cheats. Mm-hmm. I want to reward clever ideas, but this is seriously thwarting my character selection in upcoming adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Is this okay for him to sit there and go, okay, what creatures can I throw at them that will specifically have an advantage over them?
Yes and no. Yes, it's okay, because as a game master, you want to say, challenge. You know what Brenzen always throws at things? Radiant damage.
Right.
You know what I'm going to throw at him for this fight? Something that's resistant to radiant damage. That is 100% okay, because it will create a different dynamic in the fight.
Have to try something different.
What you don't want to get into is an arms race.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to say, I've given my player something that blinds monsters, so now I'm only going to use monsters that can't be blinded, prompting the players to find something that paralyzes monsters, prompting you to make something that can't be paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You may recall that at one point, I'm almost certain, and I don't know if it was Brenzen or if it was Archibus, where I was shooting the radiant damage and the creatures were resistant to radiant damage, and I said in jest, of course they're resistant to my damage. And Rodrigo got, you know, that Rodrigo offended tone. But
what does that sound like, Rodrigo?
That, do you not? All right. Yes. That's how it sounds.
All right.
This is my real Rodrigo voice. Fake Rigo goes, hello!
I am so offended!
Rob, do you have any other things to add into this?
No. What sort of damage did you do? Oh no, he's resistant to that.
Maybe when he's done. sometimes you do have to work around some of your players' abilities. My roommate tends to be a bit more of a power gamer than... Basically,
anyone?
The rest of us,
mm-hmm.
or the rest of us who are regularly playing in the campaign. So I've actually had to work around the fact that he is nigh unhittable and start choosing monsters that deal damage without having to hit, have area of effect things, just stuff where I get around the fact that I can't friggin' touch him.
Right. Or, make a situation where it's like, oh, you can't... Well, it's like... I mean, it you always have the situation manifest, right? It's like Torque's AC is very high, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want a monster that will hit Torque, I just look for something that does a different or targets reflex, right? Yep. And then it's like that monster is the spider of Torque Bane. And for that fight, Torque sure is in trouble. And then afterwards, we go back to hitting AC and he's okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. P.S. The idea of waking up in Shalai as a way of transferring a campaign to the Astral Sea is awesome. It would be like The Hangover all over again.
Nice.
Rob is the best. Sincerely, Monty.
So that's two. Rob is the best. Nice.
Let's see.
It's Monty's email. Here we go. Rob@robrules.com.
Yes. Here's a question from Ryan. Thank you. You guys have thoroughly enjoyed. I've thoroughly enjoyed the podcast, and now we'll have to look forward to new episodes as I'm completely caught up. I laugh my way through many days at work thanks to all of your role playing and references. On that note, I had a question from Matthew. On numerous casts, you have made what appears to be Eddie Izzard references. Is that within your frame of relevance? Could you just be a little bit more cooler than you were before?
Well, I shall answer that in the form of a question. And the question is, they found a man hiding in Central Park with a cave full of shoes. And they said, oh, he's a transvestite. And if he is, he's a freaking weirdo transvestite, of course. One of the things that I do at my Sunday job is I play my little MP3 player, and I have the entire Dress to Kill album on my thing. So if it sounds like an Eddie Izzard reference, it's probably an Eddie Izzard reference. Unless it's a George Carlin reference that I'm misremembering. And anything that I say with a British accent is almost certainly one of three people. It's either Eddie Izzard, Hugh Laurie, or one of the doctors. If I have a British accent, that is what I'm referencing.
Or so, Mickey Dolenz.
Yes. Mickey Dolenz isn't British. Davy Jones was British, and nobody likes Davy Jones.
All right, everybody. Thank
Davy
you so much
Jones
for listening
is to
this
monkey,
week.
What the appendix is, never mind.
Thank you for listening this week.
Thank you
so much for tuning in, and thank you for sharing this cast with your friends and getting them all hooked. If you have any questions, all you have to do is send them to podcast@majorspoilers.com. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
So good, it's like you're there!